Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we are studying Sefer Shmuel, Perek Bet, which begins with Tfilat Chana, who structures her tefillah according to the advice in Brachot Lamed Bet Bet. La'olam yisader shvecho shel makom v'char kach yitpalel. That a person should always first praise Hashem and only afterwards daven or make his request, which she does only in the last pasuk of her tefillah. We're going to approach Tfilat Chana from two different perspectives. According to Rashi, Chana is really praising Hashem for what just happened in her life. She was given a child. Alatzli bi b'Hashem, ramak harni b'Hashem. She's so grateful to Hashem and joyful for having been given this child. When it says Rachav pi aloivai, the enemy that she's talking about is Pnina. When she says Al tarbu tzedabru gvoha gvoha, don't continue to talk in such a haughty way. The person who was very prideful in speaking to her was Pnina, when Pnina had many children and Chana did not. In the tefillah, when Chana says, Ada kara yalda shiva v'rabat b'nim umlala, we got to the point where the barren woman had seven children and she who had many was left in a devastated state without children. Rashi, quoting the Midrash, tells us that this refers to the fact that every time Chana gave birth, Pnina would bury two children. The Malbim takes a more global approach. He says that Chana is actually arguing against the people of the time who denied divine providence. He refers to them as the philosophim, the philosophers. And we're going to address a few of those points. Ein kadosh kashem. In that time, people would say that if Hashem is so holy, then he definitely has no connection to earth or what goes on with human beings. After all, logic follows that if for humanity, the definition of holiness is to be separate from becoming too entrenched in the material, then for Hashem to be holy, he must be separate from all those material things, including human beings. To which Chana responds, no. Ein biltecha. Hashem's holiness is not rooted in being separate from the material or humanity. Rather, Hashem's holiness is rooted in the fact that there's no one else like him. Ein biltecha. That everyone else is dependent completely on Hashem for their sustenance. And if he would withdraw his life force from planet Earth or humanity for but a moment, everything would return to a state of desolation. And in that way, he is kadosh. There's nothing else like him. He is separate in that way from all human beings, in that they are all dependent on him. Therefore, he certainly exerts his providence over this world. Another argument that she seeks to enlighten us about is the fact that they said, those philosophim, that when there's a craftsman who creates something, if he in fact creates something perfect, then there's no need for the craftsman to be involved in his creation anymore. After all, if we bought something from a craftsman and we go back to him with it, it must be that there's some imperfection that he has to tend to. So Chana responds to this and says, Ein tzur kelokeinu. No, there is no other creator that is quite like our creator. Lochin sur hayitzurim, the source of all creators, is different from the rest. Sheyadav bilti mesulakot min maasehu, that his hands actually never leave his creations. And if he would leave his creations, then of course, as we said, they would cease to exist. Another thing that they would say is that Hashem is so gavoa, gavoa, so lofty that he's not involved in human affairs. And yet another argument of those philosophim was that Hashem seems to have contradictory character traits, and how could that happen in a perfect God? We see that he interacts with the world differently. And that is how the Malbim interprets the fact that she talks about phenomena that are opposite in the world. She talks about the idea of the strong becoming weak, the wealthy and satisfied becoming impoverished and hungry, and of course, the barren having children. And according to the Malbim, she responds to this by saying, no, actually, Lashem Matsuke Aretz, Vayashit aleim teva. Hashem created the world. What he created is the need for divine providence and interaction at all times. And the changes in Hashem's interactions with people, einam ba'im mitzido, rak mipata mekablim. The changes in Hashem's varying interactions with humanity depend on the recipient, not on any change within God. So he takes a more global approach, and we want to ask the question, well, what is she doing talking about all these philosophical ideas right when she has a child? I think that sometimes in a person who thinks more broadly, perhaps it is her own situation, her own personal experience brought her to think about the providence in the general world. So we have the providence that Hashem exerted in her own personal life by giving her Shmuel HaNavi, which is what Rashi talks about, which brings her to a certain more global perspective that the Malbim articulates for us. One more interpretation, just generally speaking, is the Targum Yonatan, who goes through the tefillah and points out how it's talking about every different era in Am Yisrael's history, from her time basically all the way until Mashiach will arrive. So he sees this as a prophetic experience where Chana is having a nevuah that will tell about the future of Am Yisrael, which of course stems from those who Shmuel HaNavi anointed. And then we get to her tefillah. Hashem yechatu merivav, alav bashamayim yareim, Hashem yadin afseyaret vitin oz l'malko v'yarem keren mishicho. She has a request that Hashem should strike down the enemies of Shmuel. And when it comes to needing to battle with the Plishtim, Hashem will cause a great ra'am, a great kind of a storm or thunder in the heavens, and Hashem will help him, Yadin Afsei Aretz, to judge all over Eretz Yisrael, which Shmuel does. V'tein Oz L'malko, she requests that he give strength to the king that he anoints, Sha'ul V'yarim Keren Mishicho, as well as lifting up the Keren of the Mashiach Hashem, who is David HaMelech. After Tfilat Chana, we hear of Shmuel's spiritual development as the Perek weaves for us a study in contrast that goes back and forth between Shmuel's development in contrast with the Bnei Eli. V'hanar hayam sharit et Hashem et Pnei Eli HaKohen. We hear that Shmuel served Hashem at this point in his life through Eli HaKohen. And the very next pasuk tells us, Uvnei Eli Bnei V'liya'al. Bnei Eli were those who, according to Malbim, parku ol shamayim. They threw off of themselves the yoke of heaven. Lo yadu et Hashem. They did not know Hashem. Either they denied Hashem or they denied his ways, the way that they were expected to behave. And what they did was, they were expected to take from the people who brought their karbanot, the shlamim. They were expected to take the chazeh and the shok. But instead, what they would do is they would take a large fork of three prongs and they would strike the meat with it. And whatever came off onto that fork, they would keep for themselves. They were clearly in a position of power over the people who had come to bring the karbanot. And according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, this is an example of people who abuse their position of power. We hear Vatihi Chatatana Arim Gedola Meod et Pnei Hashem Kinaatsu Hanashim et Menchat Hashem. We hear that the sin of the Na'arim was very great because they disgraced the Karbanot of Hashem. In contrast, the pasuk goes on to tell so Shmuel Masharet et Pnei Hashem. Tzudat David points out, no longer et Pnei Eli. Now he has his own relationship with Hashem. Nar Chagor Ephod Bad. When we hear about what Bnei Eli are doing, the pasuk says, "Batichatat hane'arim." So according to some, the people who were actually behaving in this horrible way in the Mishkan were not the Bnei Eli themselves, but their own servants who they had do the menial tasks. In any case, they were aware of what the servants were doing, if it was in fact servants. And if they were doing it themselves, of course, all the more so. Then we hear that Eli blesses Elkanah and Hannah and says, Yasem Hashem chazeret min ha'isha hazot. Tachat ha'shila asher sha'ala Hashem. He blesses them that you should have more children from this specific woman who made her request for children from Hashem. She goes home and she has more children. Eli, we are told, is very old, and the news of what his sons comes to him. He gives them Musar. He says to them, "Vayomer lehem lama tasun kadvarim ha'ila asher nochi shomea debrichim ra'im me'it kol ha'am ha'ila." Why are you doing these horrible things that I hear from all the rest of the nation? And he says, "Al banai, don't do it, my sons. Lo tova hashmua. What people are saying isn't good. Either what you're doing isn't good, or the chilul Hashem as well, because people are talking about it, is so destructive." We hear about them, lo yishmu l'kol avihem, and once again, b'hanar Shmuel holich v'gadel v'tov. We have the contrast once again between B'nai Eli and Shmuel. Shmuel is growing and becoming great, gam im Hashem v'gam im anashim, both in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in the way that he relates to human beings. Very interesting, the Pasuk says that B'nai Eli did not listen to Eli, ki chafetz Hashem l'hamitam, because Hashem desired to have them die. According to Rashi, nechtam gzar din. They already had their decree signed. It was already decided in heaven that they would die. According to the Malbim, what Hashem did simply is leave them up to their own bechira. He would no longer assist them in tshuva, and it therefore was impossible at this point for them to do tshuva because this was such habitual behavior already. We hear in the Musar of another sin besides taking extra meat by force, and that is Asher Yishkavun HaNashim HaTzovot Petach Ohel Moed, that they would lie with the women who came en masse to the entrance of the Ohel Moed to bring their karbanot. According to Rashi, Kimashma'o, exactly what it sounds like. According to Malbim, which is according to the Medrash, what they would do is they made these women wait and wait and wait, so they would be waiting in throngs together with men outside of the Mishkan, which would cause all kinds of inappropriate behavior. At this point, we hear of an Ish Elokim who comes to Eli, perhaps it is Elkanah himself, who tells Eli that Hashem has chosen his shevet in order to serve him. Uvachor oto mikol shevtei Yisrael li l'chohen la'alot amzbechi laktir ktoret. Lama tivatu bezivchi. Why are you kicking at my karbanot that I gave you, and you are honoring your sons in order to fatten them more than you are honoring all of my karbanot and the karbanot of Yisrael? Therefore, goes on this Ish Elokim to tell Eli the tragic events that would befall his descendants. Okay, he tells him that because mechabdaya chabed uboza yakilu, because those who honor me I will honor, and those who disgrace me I will lessen their honor, I will disgrace them. He says, hine yadmim ba'im v'gadati et zroacha v'et zroa beit avicha miyot zaken b'veitecha. The punishment is that there will come a time that Hashem will cut off his descendants, and he will make them die before they become old, either literally before they become zaken, or in addition, actually, that they would not ever reach the status of chachamim. No descendants of Eli ever sat on the Sanhedrin, we are told. And it's terrible, tragic news that he receives, and he says the sign that news will, in fact, come true, and the punishment, the prophecy will come to fruition, is Zelcha ot asher yavol shnei vanecha el Chafni uPinchas biyom echad yamutu shneihem, that his sons Chafni and Pinchas will die on the same day. In contrast to this, Hashem says, "Hakimot v'hakimoti li kohen ne'eman, I will establish a loyal kohen." And in fact, what happens is in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the kahuna reverts back from Itamar's descendants to Elazar's descendants as Shlomo HaMelech replaces Eviatar with Tzadok HaKohen. The parak ends with the end of this besurah, this horrible news for Eli, telling him that one day his descendants will have to come to the descendants of the replacement Kohanim in order to get their bread. V'haya, kol hanotar beveitcha, anybody who's left in your home, yavol hishtav chavot lo, lagorat kesef v'kikar lechem, v'amars v'chinina, ilchata kehunot lechol pat lechem. They will have to go and beg their bread from the Kohanim who will have the schut of serving in the Mishkan. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.